In our Steps of Faith series, we have looked at men like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of which are patriarchs, and we would expect these names to be in the Hall of Faith. But now another name is recorded in this great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, and it is a lady by the name of Rahab. Rahab is not somebody that we would have expected to make it to the Hall of Faith. But Rahab being in the Hall of Faith reminds us that God is no respecter of persons. Rahab was a Canaanite woman, a stranger of the commonwealth of Israel. She had no one that lived around her to be a witness to her. She was living in Jericho. It was a pagan walled city that was full of pagan idolatry. She was a woman that was destined for God's judgment in her life due to her sin. Rahab had the reputation of being a harlot, and with that, multiple problems. Rahab's chances of making it were slim. Rahab may have been known in our culture as a strip dancer or a prostitute in our day. Certainly when we look at people that are involved in that level of sin, many times as a believer we think, well, they'll never turn to Christ. But oh, Rahab's a good reminder that no one is outside of the grace of God. And it is impossible, it's not impossible for anybody to come to know Jesus Christ. How could Rahab get out of the way of life that she knew? Rahab knew judgment was coming to Jericho. How would she avoid it? Today, people are looking for a way out. They want a way out of debt. They want a way out of anxiety. They want a way out of marital trouble. They want a way out of conflict. They want a way out of taxes. Anybody want a way out of taxes? They want a way out of prison. They want a way out of life. They want a way out of their past. They want a way out of a bad reputation. They want a way out of facing tomorrow. They want a way out of being enslaved to life-dominating habits. They want a way out of guilt. And the list could go on this morning. People are looking for a way out. Verse 31 paints the picture of a woman who needed a way out. Turn back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Three short truths about Rahab this morning as I've entitled the message, The Way Out of Jericho. Rahab needed a way out. Maybe you need a way out this morning. Maybe you've been looking for a way out of sin, a way out of guilt, a way out of your past, a way out of all kinds of trouble in your life. You say, preacher, I've been thinking, I need a way out. Rahab, I'm glad to announce this morning, found the only way out. Joshua chapter 2, look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You say, preacher, what drew Rahab to find the only way out for her and her family? Number one, Rahab's faith in God was the result of her belief in coming judgment. Look at verse number 9, if you will. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. It was the testimony of God's coming judgment upon Jericho that awoke Rahab to say, I've got to have a way out. By the way,
It's not bad when somebody gets saved because they're afraid to go to hell. That's not a bad reason to get saved. Rahab saw what was coming. Rahab saw that Jericho was going to be destroyed and all the inhabitants therein. She says, I know there is a terror coming upon us. And because of that terror, I now am placing my faith in your God. He is the God of heaven. I want you to know something this morning. Rahab didn't believe in God when the two spies came to her house. That was not the beginning of Rahab's faith. Rahab's faith was when she heard of the coming judgment. She says, we have heard. And because we have heard, there is something that stirred in her heart that said, I need an answer. I need a way out. And she believed on God. It was the testimony of God's work among Israel that drew Rahab to faith in God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She had heard that the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea. She had heard the miracle that God did to bring them across. Now they're in the land of Canaan. Now their next stop is going to be Jericho. She knows it's getting closer to the end. She knows that my time on this earth may not be very long. I need a way out. Where should I look? She looked to the right place. She looked to the right person. She looked to God. She didn't look at the national events as something that was happening by chance. She didn't discard God in what was happening around her. She had heard of some miracles and she knew that God was on the move. And may I say today that God is still on the move in people's lives and in nations across our world today. God is moving. If you're here today and you're without Jesus Christ, you can't look at the world scene and say, well, there's no God involved. God is moving the pieces of the puzzle in our world. He was doing it in Rahab's day. He's doing it in our day today. She didn't see the judgment of God and ignore it or harden her heart towards it. You see, Rahab didn't need to be convinced that she was a sinner. She was a harlot. She was totally convinced that she had done wrong before a holy God. She was in great realization that she needed a way out. She needed to be delivered. She knew that she would be punished. She knew that she would die when Jericho was conquered. She said, when we heard all this, our hearts melted. You see, Rahab grabbed a hold of something that most people don't get today. She realized that she was headed for destruction. And there was no way out except to surrender to and put her faith in the one true living God. The walls were closing in. Time was running out. Destruction was imminent. Rahab said, I better turn to God and I better turn to God now. You know that fear often motivates faith? In Psalm 111, verse number 10, the Bible states this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in your life. If you're here without Jesus Christ, or you're listening by way of live stream and you're without Christ this morning, you're unsure of heaven, you're still yet in your sins according to the Scripture, you, my friend, need to be warned this morning that judgment is imminent. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this. It says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. In Romans 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself before God. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the Bible describes a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face on earth and heaven and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, just as Rahab could see that judgment was coming, you need to see from the Scriptures that judgment is coming. It's imminent. It's right around the corner. It could happen as a result of the rapture of the church when God takes the church out of this world. That's the next event on God's prophetic calendar. It could happen at the moment at which you die. The Bible says it's appointed. It's an appointment for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But one way or the other, judgment is coming. Let that be a motivation to you. Let that shake you a little bit this morning. Let that wake you up spiritually a little bit that you need Jesus Christ. You need a way out of that judgment. Rahab knew she had broken God's law. She had lived according to her own ways. She was a vile sinner. Chief of sinners, you may say. But God rejoices in saving even the vilest sinner. You see, Romans chapter 5, verse 20 talks about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm thankful that God can take the vilest of sinners, the chiefest of sinners, and He can save them by His grace, because grace triumphs sin. Jericho was doomed. Rahab was doomed. Rahab needed a way out. That way out was faith in God. Rahab's faith was the result of hearing about God's judgment. But Rahab's faith also was the result of hearing of God's power demonstrated on behalf of God's people. Look at verse number 10. Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Now news about the Israelites had been getting around in Jericho. It was evident that their God was powerful enough to part the Red Sea. Now think about this. If you're living in Jericho, a walled city, and you hear of God parting the Red Sea for His children to come across the Red Sea into your land, which you know, according to God, He's going to give them. Do you feel secure in Jericho? They had just had the Red Sea opened up by God. This is what Rahab had heard. This is what the people of Jericho had heard. Now Jericho's the next stop on the map. They're coming your way. And they're coming your way not as just a band of people, but a band of people with an almighty God. That's who's coming your way. They had heard about God's power. Christians, may I remind you that unbelievers that are around you need to be able to hear about God's works in your life. One of the things that God uses to draw people to Himself is not only of coming judgment, but also of God's demonstration of His power. And He demonstrated His power, and they heard about it. And as a result of hearing about it, Rahab comes to the conclusion in verse number 11, that this God, this is the God of heaven. Your God is the God of heaven. I'm placing my faith in your God. Believers, understand that people around you don't have answers today. Understand that people that are unsaved, whether it be neighbors or co-workers or relatives, they do not have someone that has the power of God. They do not have access to that someone. And so when you do, and God does something powerful in your life and through your life, you need to be able to share it with others so that they too can hear of God's power
she heard of God's power. Her faith resulted from hearing of judgment and hearing of God's power. Miracles, my friends, still occur. And when they do, the way that we give glory to God is by sharing it with others. The way that God gets the most glory in our lives is by us telling others of what God has done on our behalf. We had a great Wednesday night service as we got a chance to share some of those things. Her faith was a saving faith. She was saved by grace. That means that Rahab didn't deserve it. And sir, ma'am, young person this morning, you and I don't deserve it either. We are saved by grace, but through faith. She had to make a decision about who was going to be the object of her faith. And Rahab chose to place her faith in God. It was the only way out. And may I say for every person listening this morning, it's the only way out for you. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, preacher, I'm living with guilt. I'm living with sin. I'm bearing a wicked past. I have a terrible reputation. I don't want to face tomorrow. I'm looking for a way out. What is the way out? Here's the way out. The way out is through Jesus Christ, where you can have access to God the Father. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have access to God. You can only get to God through the person of Jesus Christ. Every person born today, faith in Jesus Christ is your only way out of eternal damnation and judgment. It's the only way out of your heart being troubled. It's the only way out of guilt from your past. It is the way out, salvation through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, our text, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace, she was delivered. If you would realize that you've gone aside from God, that there's none that doeth good, no, not one, including you. If you would believe that God sent His Son into this world to die in your place, to rise again so that you could live through Him. If you would accept what God says and believe it, you could be saved. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent not His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. Sir, ma'am, there's a way out. The hope for you this morning is there is a way out in your life. That is through Jesus Christ. Her faith was a saving faith. Her faith was a single faith. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Think about this. Israel marched around the city of Jericho for 6 days. That means that God gave space for people in Jericho to repent. For 6 days, they marched around Jericho. I wonder if people stood at the gate and thought, maybe God's going to destroy our city. Maybe I ought to turn to God. I wonder if people were up on the wall looking down, and instead of thinking that God was going to destroy the city, just kind of mocked the children of Israel as they marched around the city. You know, God's a merciful God. He gives space and time for repentance. However, in the story in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6, we don't have any record of anybody else coming to God in faith except Rahab. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to believe what everyone else believes. When you're with somebody and you can say, yeah, I believe just what you believe. By the way, in soul winning, we find that often is the case. We go to a door, knock on a door, and they want to say that they believe what we believe. In fact, many of the religions today have changed their terminology to fit similar terminology that we use because it's easy to believe what everybody else believes. It's tough to be different in your beliefs. For Rahab, to the best of our knowledge, she was the only one who heard of God's judgment and heard of God's power and says, oh, I'm going to change what I have believed from the past. And I'm going to believe in the one and true God. That was tough. That's a tough decision. It could be I'm speaking to somebody this morning and your family has been rooted in all kinds of religions down through the years. And you've never realized that Jesus Christ is the only way out, is the only way to be saved. And to be saved, it may mean that you turn from what you've known in religion and turn to Christ by yourself, a single faith. That's a tough decision. Young people that are coming up in our church, be reminded and be thankful this morning that for most of you, that's not the case. For most of you, you're coming up in an environment, an atmosphere where your parents know Jesus, where your Sunday school teacher knows Jesus, where your classmates in Sunday school have grown up hearing about Jesus. Be thankful for that. Because Rahab had no background. She had nobody around her that knew it. She had nobody else to come alongside and strengthen her and say, this is the right way. She was in it by herself. But Rahab still made the choice. And if you're lost without Jesus Christ this morning, you may be the only one here that doesn't know Christ. You may be the only person in your family that has heard this truth of the gospel. You may be afraid of, if I trust Christ, what's everybody going to think? But remember this, Rahab was alone. And she still came to God in faith. For the Christian, it's easy to believe the way the majority of Christians believe today on many fronts. Our Christian culture, our churches today, are being carried away with a loose life, with loose living, with worldliness. It's difficult to believe what God says at times when even Christian friends and family don't believe that way. But remember Rahab. Rahab said, it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. I'm going to believe what God says. Christian, how do you fare in the world? Do your beliefs set you apart from unbelievers or even other Christians? Are you scared to believe some things because of who you might lose around you? Rahab stepped out, no Christian background, and said, I'm going to believe what God says. Some may come with me, some may not. My family may make fun of me. Doesn't matter. I'm going to believe what God says. Rahab's faith. Secondly, Rahab's follow-through. Her follow-through. For a baseball player, and some of you enjoy playing baseball, or maybe you enjoy playing softball when we have family softball, having follow-through with your swing is important to seeing that ball go. When you follow through with that swing and break your wrist, my dad always taught me to break my wrist.
that follow-through is important to sending that ball into flight and getting a hit. Rahab didn't have a talk a lot about it faith, but she had a do a lot about it faith. Her faith was confirmed, not determined, by her works. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 25. There are a few New Testament references to Rahab in the Scriptures. James chapter 2 and verse number 25. Anytime a person is converted to Christianity, God wants to touch a person's whole life. That is, He wants salvation to make a difference. It should be like day and night. Rahab went from being a harlot who didn't even care for herself to someone who put her life on the line to save someone she barely knew, the spies. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? I want you to get this key to the book of James, key to understanding our New Testament. She was not justified by works in the sense that she was saved because of what she did. Okay? Nobody is saved by what they do. We have all kinds of passages of Scripture that when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we understand, according to Ephesians 2, verse number 9, that we are not saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. However, what should accompany that faith is good works. Verse 9 of Ephesians 2 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so there is a faith that is to change us. And the theme of James is faith without works is dead. Or in other words, our works should confirm, should show to others our faith. Rahab's faith had follow through. She believed on God. And she took the spies in. That was a risk. Her follow-through was risky and could have been very costly. If the local government officials would have found out, she would have been labeled a traitor and probably killed on the spot. True faith will show itself in good works. Get this, especially to the people of God. Let me say it again. True faith in your life, one of the ways that it should show itself is in good works, especially to the people of God. Rahab took in two of God's men and hid them, cared for them, protected them. It was evidence of her follow-through. You may be here this morning recently saved. Let me encourage you on this aspect of follow-through. You say, preacher, as a believer, how do I demonstrate follow-through? First way you demonstrate it is through biblical baptism. You get saved. You heard God. You understood your need of a Savior. You received Christ by faith to forgive you and cleanse you of all sin. It doesn't stop there, my friend. It didn't stop there for Rahab in that day. It moved forward. There was a follow-through involved. And today, for believers in the New Testament, we learn that they gladly received the Lord, that's faith, and were baptized, that's follow-through. That's saying I'm not afraid to identify with God's people. And I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to be baptized by immersion and show the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and show that I've died with Christ and that I've risen again with Christ to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter number 6. She followed through. She also followed through in obeying what the men said. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse number 14, if you will, of Joshua chapter number 2.
Bible says, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward ye may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our hand, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Her faith was put on trial. She had to believe what the men said, and she had to respond with putting the scarlet line or the scarlet cord outside the window. Rahab followed through. And Rahab cast her vote with God's people and God's plan. How about you? Is there follow through in your life as a Christian where you are casting your vote with God's people and with God's plan? The cord, many would say, is a representative or represents or symbolizes the blood of Christ. You realize that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's the only way by which a man can come to God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So many are quick to profess Christ, but then have very little to show proof of a true salvation afterwards. And I want you to get this from Rahab's life. Faith changed her life. It changed her life. Brethren, we do not preach a faith that doesn't change a life. The faith of the Bible, the faith that we learn of examples in the Bible, reveals a changed life. Rahab had follow through to prove it. She hid the spies. She took the side of God's people. She obeyed. She followed through with hanging the scarlet thread so that she would be identified not with the people of Jericho, but with the people of God. Follow through is important. Follow through is being with God's people in God's house when the doors are open. That's follow through. Paul, the Bible says, essayed to join himself. He desired to join himself to believers. One of the evidences of his salvation, one of the follow-throughs of Paul's salvation was, I've got to find a church, a Bible-believing church full of believers. That's the people that I want to identify with now. And that ought to be true of your life if you've been saved recently. It ought to be a stirring desire in your life to be with God's people, to join God's people. Follow-through means finding a place to serve in the local church. Follow through means taking time to put off things and put on things, as Ephesians 4 teaches us, that we put off the former conversation, the lifestyle that we used to live, and we put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These are the things that show follow through in a believer's life. Rahab had follow through. She had faith, but she had follow through. Thirdly, lastly, I want you to look at our future as we close. Verse number 31 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, she perished not with them that believe not. Every person that refuses to believe on Jesus Christ, my friend, will perish, will pay the penalty for sin in a place called the lake of fire. if they do not receive Jesus Christ on this side of death. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a great change. Paying the penalty of sin to being given eternal life. The first thing that we see about the future of Rahab is that her destiny changed. And yours can too, if you trust Christ. She was delivered from death. She was delivered from dying with those that believe not. Secondly, her decision affected her family. Her decision affected her family. Look at Joshua chapter 6, if you will. Joshua chapter 6. Fathers, mothers, remember this. Decisions of faith affect those underneath you. She made a decision of faith. She was by herself when she did it. But that decision of faith not only preserved her, it preserved her family. The Bible says in verse number 22 of Joshua chapter 6, "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab." That was a big enough blessing. But, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. There was one lady in the family that made a decision. That decision affected all of her kindred. Sir, ma'am, you may be without Jesus Christ this morning, and it may be difficult to step out alone. But I want you to know, if you step out alone, oh, the domino effect it could have in your family. Her family was preserved because Rahab stepped out in faith toward God. Rahab is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, "And Salmon begat Booz," or it's the word for Boaz, "of Rachab." It is here that Rahab takes her place in the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Old Testament and leads to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Rahab is in the line of Christ. God placed the prostitute in His plan to bring His Son into the world. Rahab is extraordinary because of God's extraordinary grace. She became part of the lineage of Christ. She was the mother of Boaz, the great-great-grandmother of David, in the line of Christ. Fourthly, all of Rahab's future changed when faith came into the picture. Fourthly, lastly, Rahab's company changed. She lived in Jericho as a Canaanite, but the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 25 that she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. The people that she was with were destroyed. Rahab was left standing. And Rahab was planted with the people of God in Israel. No matter your past this morning, you can become an example of faith. Rahab had an unspeakable past. Can't even talk about it in mixed company. But an extraordinary faith and an unparalleled future. You and I can't even make it into the lineage of Christ. Rahab did. There is a way out. God provides for every person through faith in Jesus Christ. A way out of sin, a way out of guilt, a way out of condemnation, a way out of judgment. As a Christian this morning, it is important that you testify of the works of God, the miracles of God in your life to others. You have no idea how God could use that to draw someone to Him. Brethren, they do not have the God that we have. They do not have the testimonies that you and I have. They do not have the ability to call upon God and see Him show up in mighty ways. For the new Christian, it's important that you not merely believe in Christ, but that your faith is accompanied by follow-through. What area do you need to follow through in? Sometimes coming to Christ and turning from your old beliefs, your old religion, your own philosophies, it takes courage. Sometimes it takes you stepping out on a limb that others maybe around you are not stepping out on. But Rahab is an example to all of us in this area. Remember, no one stepped out in faith, but nobody else in Jericho had a way out either. When you step out in faith, you have taken advantage of the way out. Rahab is certainly a rebuke to some who have all kinds of excuses for not trusting in Jesus. I don't know very much about the Bible. I'm too bad to be saved. I'm a condemned harlot. Nobody cares for me. What will my family think? And Rahab's first concern was, will I believe what God says? And the answer to that question trumped all the other questions she may have had in life. Will you believe what God says? If you do, your future can be changed.